Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship you. We lay our lives before you. We bow our knees in humble adoration, in humility, and we worship you, giving you the praise and the glory first for the privilege that you've given us to be able to worship you, to know you, to serve you, to seek you, to find you. Father, we love because you first loved us. You are the one that has shed your love abroad in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. You love us so much, you give your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, have eternal life. Lord Jesus, our High Priest, you ever live to make intercession for us, the Lamb upon the throne, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Yes, for our salvation, our redemption. Thank you. You are the last Adam, taking us from where we are to where we ought to be, back to Eden, to eat of the tree of life. You are that tree of life, so that indeed you may be the firstborn among many brethren, that we may have life and have him more abundantly, to be able to love like you love. Thank you, Lord God, because you help us to know that you love us like you love the Lord Jesus. Thank you, because by your precious Spirit, you will reveal yourself unto us. You will cause Christ to be formed in us, glorified in us. You will take us from where we are, causing a transformation, Lord, every area, spirit and body, Lord, to where we ought to be, helping us to see you more clearly, love you more dearly, follow you more nearly, hear you more distinctly, obey you more promptly, forsaking Egypt, the things that are behind, following on to the things that are ahead. We worship you, even the pride of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, because you do this exceedingly abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think, according to your power that is at work within us. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's take our seats in the presence of the Lord. Why don't you welcome the person sitting beside you. Say you're welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord will truly transform you, taking you from where you are, precious. Taking you from where you are to where you ought to be in the name of Jesus. You'll experience that divine transformation in the exalted name of Jesus. You'll experience... You'll experience, you know, taking you what God wanted to do before the foundation of the world. I don't know that you know that God always has a plan for each day that he has written in his Bible for you so that you can fulfill it for each day. And so what he has written in the word concerning you before the foundation of the world, you will know and you'll begin to fulfill more of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus to Zion City Fellowship, the campus outreach arm of Scripture Pastor Christian Center, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes, let's give a clap offering unto the Lord. Yes, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we also thank God for our fathers, because the church is pastored by Pastor Libby Johnson and Mr. Libby Johnson. Let's give a clap offering unto the Lord. We truly bless God for our fathers, you know. Without them, you know, we won't know what we know. You know, the Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so we thank God for these people that God has put before our very eyes to teach us this word of God that is truly changing us. And so we're going to continue what we've started. We've been talking about the testimonies of God, where we've been identifying people in the scriptures, you know, that God wants us to follow and use as templates, you know, and to learn from them. And so we've been doing this in church, and we also felt this was going to be applicable and helpful for us, you know, as we continue. And so I also bring you greetings from Prof. He's not around for a few days, but he'll be back with us shortly. We have his better half, as they say. And so for me, thank you so much. It's good to always have you. We thank God for his mercies. So let's just bow our heads as we pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this moment again in your presence. It is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of you that shows us mercy. And so we also ask the Lord that you continue to grant us meekness and lowliness of heart, so that we will continue to receive wisdom from you. It will flow like rivers of living water, Lord, even as we delve into your word, to speak, O Lord God, about you, your character, Lord God, being worthy in character and learning from the life of Moses, even the Christ areas of his life, so that we ourselves will put on this armor of love, this put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh, to whom the end of the world has come. Lord, we ask, O Lord God, that you grant us all, individually and collectively, the spirit of meekness and lowliness of heart, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, so that the eyes of our understanding will truly be flooded with light, we will know better the hope of your calling upon our lives, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us, and the exceeding greatness of your power, which you wrought in Christ just when you raised him from the dead and set him at your right hand. That same power will raise us up from whatever level we are to the level we ought to be, even in you. So we begin to know who we are in Christ, just to begin to walk accordingly and fulfill our purpose and destiny more and more to the praise and glory of your name. I ask for mercy for myself, that the word will come forth in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. I will not speak my own words, I will speak only that which I hear from you. I will redeem the time, Lord God, and I pray for the hearers. You grant them understanding. You grant them meekness. You grant them light. You grant them strength, grace, to be doers of the work. The word that they hear are not hearers only. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We cast out every spirit of infirmity, distraction, worry, anxiety, or whatever they are called. We destroy your works. We resist. We bind you. We loose the angels to minister for us. Occupy the air. Establish and see to it that God's perfect will is done for us on site and online. And those that will be listening later. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for his mercies. And so you see, we're going to continue in the life of Moses. And we're going to draw out of his life. And incidentally, the name of Moses means he that was drawn from. You know, he was drawn from the Nile. And they called him Moses. And so there's a lot in the life of Moses to learn. And I just want to quickly remind you of certain things, you know, so that it can build faith. And you can see, as we have said, that many of these guys that we're looking at, they're supposed to be, and they are, many of them are actually prefigured image of Christ. I mean, from their life, they're supposed to represent Christ. In diverse ways, we talk about Joseph, we saw how he was an example of Christ to come. Even in the life of Samson, we saw that he was a Nazarene. You know, he was, his birth was predicted, was prophesied, you know, foretold by an angel. Just like Jesus. Do you understand? To show you that the Lord Jesus was a man of like passions. God is a humble God. He sets things, you know, ahead, you know, as templates, you know, so that he himself can use it. So it's not that Jesus dropped from heaven. Jesus was born of a woman, of a virgin. Are we together? You know, so that you say that God, I don't want to use the word, but like we always understand, God is down to earth. God is relatable. You know, and so in the life of many of the characters in the Old Testament, he wanted them to be like a prefigured image, so to speak, or template, or an example of the Christ, the Lord Jesus, to come. Are we together? And so like David, Jesus himself called himself the son of David. Do you understand? You have Noah. You have people like that. And when you look at their lives, you will see deep revelation about the Christ that was to come. And even your own life, the Bible tells us that we are written epistles. You know, so that when people read us, they can see Christ. And so this evening, there's an emphasis I want to draw from the life of Moses. And it is being worthy in character and learning. See, being worthy in character and in learning. Where do we hear that a lot? Can somebody tell me where we hear that a lot, that phrase? Worthy in character and learning. Where do they say it a lot? At the moment, I allow you. Yes, at the moment, go ahead. In universities, in polytechnics, in college of education, you know, even in high schools now, and secondary schools, they are saying it a lot. Worthy in character and learning, because we know that that is what is going to transform a society. You know, we know that that is what we need in a community, that is what we need in a society, that is what we need in a nation, to transform a nation and take a nation from where it is to where it's supposed to be. It's not just worthy in learning. Because if you have learning, you can have a head full of numbers. As you get to see, learning minus God is just void. It's just numbers. It's empty. Are we together? You get to see, you know. That's why in universities, it's a major thing that they say. You know, everybody probably just says it now. And maybe some people have lost the meaning. But being worthy in character and learning is what we're going to talk about. And we're going to pick these things from the life of Moses, whether it is, and because I think it's just God, because many of us, of course, most of us are in campus, you know, in university, or some of us are working, you know, but it still applies to us. Give me 1 Corinthians 10:11. So we're going to do it together, because the screen is not here. So I know some of you are faster than me. So whoever gets there first, you can read it, and make sure you speak out, or you get the mic around. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Let's move fast. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Whoever is there.
Now all these things happened unto them for example, and they are written for us admonition upon whom the hands of the world has come.
Excellent. So you can see, incidentally, this 1 Corinthians 10, talking about the life of Moses and the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt, when they passed through the Red Sea, you know, when they saw the cloud of pillar by night, the cloud of glory by day. Do you remember that story? You should remember the story of Moses. And so in 1 Corinthians 10, it was talking about that story. And then at a particular juncture, at a particular verse, you know, while it was talking about the story of Moses and what happened, giving a quick summary, Paul was giving a quick summary. You know, he said something. He said that these things, just like I've been saying about all the guys in the Old Testament, you know, they were written for our admonition, to whom they were written for an example and warning. And they were written for an instruction and admonition to whom the end of the age has come. How many people know we're in the end time? So you see, this is to convince you again that we're not just talking about Bible stories, that these are not just Bible stories. We're not just trying to make things out of it. God himself, by the Holy Spirit, is telling us that the examples, the lives of these people are examples for us to follow. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so in 1 Corinthians 10:11, you can see he's telling us that if, especially for us that are in the end time, everything that has been written is for your instruction, is for your admonition, you know, is somebody has written a program and you're supposed to go and check it and run it. Do you understand? And execute it so that it comes to play. Or somebody has drawn a plan for you so that you can say, ah, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is a pattern for me to build my house. Oh, I don't want this kind. Okay, this part is bad. No, let's correct it. Let's make it well. And so that's what the Bible is saying. And so also give me Romans 15:4. So we've seen 1 Corinthians 10:11, Romans 15:4, to just prove to us that these people's lives are examples for us and instructions, you know, that we must follow, and corrections to take from their life. Yeah, who is there? Whoever is there, read it. Start again.
Everything written in the scripture was written to teach us in order that we might have hope through the patience and encouragement which scriptures give us.
Thank you so much. So you can see that everything, it says everything in the Bible, everything in the scripture, everything, you know, did you hear what I said? Old Testament and New Testament, everything, not just a part, not just a part that you like, not just a part that every preacher preaches, no. Everything from Genesis 1:1 to Revelations 21 or Revelations 22, just at the last verse, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, above everything, was written for our admonition and learning. Excuse me. For our admonition and learning. Through whom? The end of the world. So that we can have comfort from scripture. Are we together? Everything was written for our learning. Now, you know, in computing, we have something called AI. How many people know we have AI, artificial intelligence? How does the computer, Meta, on your WhatsApp, you have AI, you have Meta. Just like you can ask it questions. How does it know what to do? How does it know what to say? How does it know how to answer you? It has learned. It is still learning. If whatever it gets wrong, they either allow you to put a thumbs up and a thumbs down so that the thing can go and learn. So you yourself, if computer is doing that, God is telling us that everything in scripture was written for our learning. For you to go and check out. For you to go and learn so that you can do it better. So you can know what to do in every circumstance and situation. Do you understand? God has gone ahead of technology. He knows all this. Do you understand what I'm saying? In him I hid all the treasures of wisdom and what? Knowledge. Now give me Hebrews 8:6. Hebrews 8:6. Are you following me? I hope I've not lost you. Are you following me? Excellent. Hebrews 8:6. Hebrews 8:6. You know, it's important for you to know that everything, even in your body, the cells are learning. Do you understand? Everything is learning. Even germs, they learn and then they restructure themselves. Everything is learning. God created ability to learn. Just like your brain learns. Are we together? You know your brain learns now? Excellent. Your brain learns on a normal day. Okay, so give me Hebrews 8:6.
But now, have they obtained a more excellent ministry? By how much also is the mediator of a better covenant?
Excellent.
Which was established upon better promises.
Okay, good. So this one is to encourage us and let us know that you have seen and you will read and will hear of things in the Bible that Moses, Elijah, Elisha did, that we will see of Noah, we will see of Samson, you see of David against Goliath, you see of David's mighty men, and then you are wondering in your heart, you see, you hear of Adam, that he named all the animals, and then you are wondering in your heart, can we even live up to that expectation? Can you even meet up to those guys? That's what that scripture is now saying. In the previous one, he had told us that those things were written for our learning,
and then for us to have hope. Do you understand that we can be better? And then in this Hebrews 8, it's now telling us that because of the Lord Jesus, say hallelujah, because of the Lord Jesus, we have a better covenant and a better testament than the guys in the Old Testament. You have a better covenant, better testament than the guys in the Old Testament, than Samson, than Noah, you know, than Elisha, than Elijah, all those guys that you admire so much. God is telling us that in the New Testament, we have a better opportunity, we have a better testament, we have a better covenant. You know, the Jews, they are one of the, probably the smartest on the earth. They have the most Nobel Prizes, and they are dwelling on the Old Covenant blessing. Now, the Bible is telling us that we have a better testament with better promises, with better plan from blessings. Oh, of course, you might wonder, we are not yet seeing it. Yes, we are not yet seeing it for a reason. We'll talk about that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because there's so much unbelief and because there's so much non-growth or immaturity. Do you understand? So we'll know how to deal with it. And we'll know that we also need meekness and character to be able to learn from the guys in the past, like the Bible has taught us. And so we see that it says that we have, give me again, better covenant, better promises, we have a better testament, we have a better mediator. Those guys didn't have a mediator. Many times Job would say, oh, that I had a redeemer. Oh, that I had a mediator. You have a better mediator. Are you listening to me? We have a better promise. We have better promises. We have a better testament, you know, and so on and so forth. So the point I'm trying to make is, as New Testament Christians, Christ is our mediator. He's a better mediator, and we have better promises. Okay, yeah, so you can see. So that's just to give you faith, so that you don't, you know, one time I used to think, would I, this thing about Adam, you know, Adam was a man and you thought regret, oh, I wish Adam did not fall. But the point is, God has reminded me and given me this hope and this consolation that Christ is the last Adam. Are you listening to me? And so we are of the lineage of the last Adam. And the Bible tells us that Christ, in him I hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That even Christ is better than the first Adam. Are you listening to me? So that should give you hope and stop living a life of regret. That, oh, can I ever be like the first Adam? Oh, I wish Adam did not fall. No. It's fine. It's fine because Christ has come to redeem us on the cross of the law. And he is the last Adam. So everything that the first Adam had, this last Adam has it. I'm of his stock. I'm of his new creation. I'm of his lineage. I'm his descendant. I'm a member of his body. Do you understand what I'm saying? So stop regretting and stop trying to live in the past and bring back the past. Now stay in Christ where you are. He's the better Adam. He's the last man. He's the last Adam. And as long as you are born again, you're of his stock. And whatever the last Adam had, this new Adam, this last Adam has, and even better, and much more. Are we together? Okay, so now let's quickly go on. Now, we're talking about, the reason why we're talking about world and character and learning is, and we're drawing from the life of Moses, is that we observed that when Moses was in Egypt, the Bible says that he was mighty in words and in deed. He was schooled in all the wisdom of Egypt. Give me Acts 7:22-25. Acts 7:22-25. And while I do this, I'm also going to read you something that Pastor sent us, and I felt I was going to truly encourage you. You see, because the summary of this thing is, what can we learn from the life of Moses, who had education, you know, and how was his life with education without God, and then how was his life with education with God? Education is God's will. But when you take education, you minus God and subtract God and you take God out of it, then it becomes empty. Are you listening to me? It becomes void. When you have education but you don't have character, then you become void and empty. The Bible says that the earth was without what? Void. And darkness covered the earth. Are you listening to me? And so when you look at Acts 7:22-25, we see that Moses was all that was educated. Can someone read Acts 7:22-25 for me? Make sure you collect the mic so people online can also hear you.
Moses was educated in all the wisdom of Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them...
Yo, let's stop at that 22. I'll just take you through 22 to 23. to see the praises of our lives. You know, but why we need to redeem the time? Because we don't have much time. Moses had 120 years. We don't have 120 years, guys. We can say, using the words of the Lord Jesus, thou 2024. Assuming that we're going to 2050, assuming, you know, that we're going to 2050 or 19 or 2048, because the Bible tells us that this generation will not pass until, you know, the word of God is fulfilled. And looking at the fig tree, the fig tree always represents Israel. And Israel became a nation in 1948. So if you add 100 to 1948, you know that that's seemingly like 2048. Now, we're not saying that Jesus can come 2048, but it can be before or after that, depending on what we do. But the point we're trying to make is that we don't have time. Are you listening to me? So we cannot afford to make the same kind of mistake, you know, that Moses made. Or the same kind of lack of knowledge that he had. You can't even afford that, and you didn't even have that lack of knowledge. And so in Acts 22, in Acts 7, it tells us, so Moses was educated in all the wisdom and culture of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. But it was when he was 40 that the revelation came to his heart. And so we are seeing that in the life of Moses, there are three phases of our lives. At the age of 40, he had revelation. At the age of 80, the manifestation began. Are you listening to me? From 0 to 40, Moses was educated. That's preparation. Say preparation. So the number one part of your life is preparation. Say preparation. The next phase of our lives is revelation. Say revelation. Notice that for Moses, it was when he was 40. The Bible tells us, give me that verse 23 again when you were reading it. Yeah, so when he reached the age of 40, it came into his heart. Revelation is something that comes into your heart. God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, so that the eyes of my heart, the eyes of my understanding may be further enlightened. Revelation comes to the heart. But for Moses, it was when he was 40. You don't have to wait till you are 40. There are things that I'll tell you to start doing now, we've been told, that you must start doing with understanding, that you can get revelation as you are pursuing your education. I'm not beginning to sound like a rapper, Abby, but it's not a rapper. It's just the truth. As you are pursuing your education on campus, you should be getting revelation on campus. Are you listening to me? The Lord Jesus did not get revelation when he was 40. There was no time. He needed to save the earth. He got revelation about purpose and destiny at the age of 12. Joseph got his own at 17. Moses got his own at 40. Abraham got his own at 75. Thank God. It shows that even our fathers and grandfathers can get revelation. But the point I'm trying to make is that you don't have to wait till you are 40 before you become spiritually serious. As you are running your natural education, you should be running your spiritual education. The way that you are pursuing your natural education, you should be even earnestly pursuing your spiritual education. I listen to you. Remember what we said? We are learning. We are learning. We don't have 40. If I ask the average age of everybody, we're in our 20s, except for us are 40. But I can tell you that I didn't wait till I was 40 before I started becoming serious spiritually. Are you listening to me? So you can see, preparation, say preparation. This has to do with your natural education, your learning and your work. Then, revelation, say revelation. This has to do with coming to know God, understanding Him. And then of course we'll have what? Manifestation. Are you listening to me? But for Moses, you can see it took 40, 40, 40. That's why he lived up to what? 120. So, from 0 to 40, he had all the education of Egypt. You're on campus, you're learning English, architecture, computing, you're learning medicine, you're learning zoology, veterinary medicine, you're learning building science, you're learning engineering, all the different facets, all the different fields. You know, by the time he was 40, that's when he was at the back side of the desert and had the revelation of the burning bush. And that he had to go and save Egypt. And then from 80 to 120, you can see that's when he went to save Egypt. And then they had a manifestation. They started seeing miracles, signs and wonders, went through the desert and so on and so forth. And they were supposed to enter the promised land. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, as we go on, the emphasis is this. I've said this. I've written some things down here. Education and life without God is void and empty. There is no character, there is no learning. But God wants us to be worthy in character and in learning. Now, Let me give you an example. Education without God. Let me give you a typical example in the life of Moses. Moses is known as one of the foremost people that spearheaded the building of the pyramids as an engineer, as an architect. Right, listen to me. But I'll let you know also that right now, the pyramids are just wonders of the world. They have no eternal meaning. By the time I compare it with some other things that he did when he now knew God, you will now know that as you are pursuing your natural education, you can allow God to enter into your brain, into your mind. Do you understand? To give you inspiration, ideas, concepts, guidance, light that will cause eternal impact and make you do things that will add to men. Today, the pyramids are just a spectacle, and that's all, full stop. But when I talk about the tabernacle of Moses was a revelation and a blueprint that God gave Moses. Until today, for all eternity, don't let me lie to you, the tabernacle of Moses will forever be relevant. Because I can tell you, the tabernacle of Moses, it represents, it had three parts. The outer court, the holy place, most holy place. If you look at your body, you are made up of spirit, soul, and body. The outer court represents different growth of a Christian. It has different interpretations, different meanings. Why? Because it was God that gave Moses that inspiration and that education. Now, the point I'm trying to make is, observe that Moses went to school. So I'm not against, nobody's against going to school. After the education is of God. But it is important that while you are doing and pursuing your natural education, you also pursue your spiritual education, so that your spiritual education can guide your natural education, can impact it, can make it 10 times better. Like the children of Daniel, like people of Daniel, Daniel and his friends. Do you understand what I'm saying? What set Daniel apart? The other guys too were smart. The Bible says that the king wanted the best, and they got the best. But what made Daniel 10 times better than his peers was God. Was the spiritual education that he brought from Israel. The Bible says that he purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the king's meat, nor with the pleasures of sin for his season. That was the spiritual education that added energy to his natural education that made him better. That made him 10 times better than his peers. If his peers were not good, it will not say 10 times better. Are you listening to me? So there is something about spiritual education. Now, so when we compare the pyramid to the tabernacle of Moses, give me Exodus 25:40.
And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was shewed thee in the mount.
Say it again. Say it out.
And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was shewed thee in the mount.
So on the mount, God gave Moses an understanding. You see, Moses was already an architect. He was already learned, which is good. He was already learned in all the wisdom of Egypt of building, you know. So it was easy for God, and it was God's will. It was God's will for him to go and be in Egypt and learn all the wisdom. But just staying there without God, or God knowledge, or God influence, or God impact, was going to be dead and useless. He was just going to be building pyramids, and that would be full stop. But now, because of the knowledge and understanding he had of building, it was easy for God to now take him to the mountain and give me a pattern of the tabernacle. Because the tabernacle was just a pattern of what God had in heaven. You see, you can see that, let me ask you now, have you ever heard in any story or testimony or Guinness Book of Records or anything that the pyramid was ever filled with the glory of God? Tell me now, eh? The pyramid is in Africa, it's in Egypt, till date. You know, but we've never heard of it being filled with the glory of God. Now, let me ask you, would you rather have a big house, a big technology, a big education that does not show forth the glory of God? In reality, I'm not trying to be spiritual. Would you rather have a building, let's just keep it simple, would you rather have a building that is filled with the glory of God, real glory of God, or a building, a fine skyscraper that doesn't have the glory of God? Which one would you prefer? No, let's be realistic. No, be honest. Would you rather have a skyscraper? I'm not even talking about Cocoa House. I'm talking about those kind of skyscrapers in Dubai, you know, or in New York City. Or you have a simple building, a simple architecture, you know, that is filled with the glory of God. Which one would you prefer? simple architecture with the field of glory of God. Observe that both of them are architectures. They are all patterns, they are all drawings. But one had the glory of God. The pyramids of Egypt, the kind of education that Moses had before he knew God, doesn't have and will never have the glory of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? But, and it is people around the world are still admiring the pyramids of Egypt. Why? Because you get to see, I don't want to go into all this, but Pastor tells us that there are two epicenters of knowledge. The Garden of Eden was a place where knowledge, and then that Eden, is in the Middle East, that wisdom flows to the East. And that's why you have the wisdom of the East, the wisdom of China, the wisdom of Egypt. And so when I was talking about Solomon, he said that his wisdom was greater than the wisdom of the East. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, the wisdom that they had in Eden, except that man fell, then that wisdom became corrupt. That's why the wisdom had, it turns to black magic. It turns to voodoo. Do you understand? It's a kind of wisdom. It's demonic. It's sensual because it became corrupted because of the fall of man. The next epicenter is Jesus, because it's the tree of life. And any country, if you check the countries that are like America, England, like Germany, you'll find out that those are places where they had revivals. Those are places, they are the case of civilization was brought forth by reason of them knowing God, by reason of the Bible being read or being spoken. The reason why Africa was still backward was because we did not have the Bible, we did not have light, until the missionaries came and gave us education. Are you listening to me? Just what I'm saying. So the point we're trying to make is that education is good, but education needs God. And we need to be having our spiritual education as we are having our natural education. Again, we are learning from the life of Moses. Rather than wait till I'm 40 to know God, let me also be knowing God right now as I'm pursuing my natural education. Are we together? Okay, so now give me Hebrews 9:1. Hebrews 9:1. You know, I just give you an example of the pyramid, the knowledge of architecture that Moses had before he knew God. And then after he met God, God was able to teach him another architecture that God could fill his glory with, that God could talk to them, God could commune with them with, God could teach them, God could interact with them. And you see, that's what God wants to do with you and me. He wants me to interact with you and teach you things, natural things. God taught them hygiene. He taught them medicine there, didn't it? I used to not using it. He taught them basic hygiene from that tabernacle. Okay, when you use the toilet, you guys have to dig and stool. When somebody has leprosy, wait till 7 days. Just like when you have coronavirus. It's the same technology, health knowledge that we're using. God was able to talk to them. So the idea of, when I know God, doesn't mean that, I can't be good in my learning, my academics. It's a lie. When you know God, you'll be 10 times better in your business, in your academics, in your learning. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's where God is taking us. God will be able to teach you things that even demons don't know. You see, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, while you're looking at that one, let me quickly read Ephesians chapter 1 for you, so I can let you know why God is very passionate about these things. In Ephesians chapter 3, not chapter 1, there is something God wants to achieve by helping us to be a tabernacle of His presence. By making sure that as we are pursuing our natural knowledge, natural education, we also pursue our spiritual education. There is something God wants to achieve in this end time. You know, I told you that the wisdom of Eden, it has become corrupt, and that's why we have black magic and the wisdom of the East. And so, those guys, they took that wisdom and they corrupted it. Do you understand? And so that's why in some fields, many fields, in the movie industry, in math, you know, in science, there's in music, there are some places you cannot reach until you cut copyrights, and then they will give you some kind of wisdom that will set you apart. So when people are listening to your music, they are fainting. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. The reason why that is happening is because people are going into some depths. Some people want to be set apart in some fields. You know, Pastor was talking about a man, you know, he's from India, you know, and he's a clerk. Just a clerk in India. And then he started writing some theories and some postulations and some formulas. And then he sent to Cambridge. The professors in Cambridge were amazed. They sent for him. They gave him a scholarship. They sent for him. And so, the professor of math in Cambridge said that, if I put this guy on a scale of 10, and I put myself on a scale of 10, I'll give myself 5, I'll give this guy 9. So they asked him, they said, how do you know these things? The guy, you know what the guy said? The guy said in the night, he sees an image that has like 8 hands, and the thing teaches him math. That's where he gets all the wisdom. They said till now, they've not been able to, what's the word now? They've not been able to falter those theories. What point am I trying to encourage you to go to demons? No. The point I'm trying to make is that everything you see in the natural has a spiritual origin and has a spiritual influence. If you think that, oh, I can just be good in math and be the best, no. You've not seen anything. And so in Ephesians chapter 3, it tells us, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10, it says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, which is you and me, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. You see, the principalities and powers feel that they have the knowledge that no man can gainsay. But God wants to show them through you and me that there is a wisdom that is better than theirs. Are you listening to me? So that's why it takes God, and we need God in our natural education to boost it. Do you understand? To make us 10 times better. To show, not just to the world. The world is a small thing. To show to principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God in different areas and different fields. And that's why when you are pursuing your education with all earnestness, you must pursue your spiritual education as well. Are you listening to me? Okay, so before I round up, let me read something to you. So Pastor sent us this thing from a man called E.W. Kenyon. And this guy wrote this thing like over 100 years ago. And nobody, well, don't let me say nobody, but most of the church don't even appreciate it or know. And so this is a man that wrote this in the 1930s. The man died in 1948. And so he wrote his book, The Wonderful Name of Jesus by E.W.K. If you can get his like 300 naira, 400 naira. You can even imagine motivational books are even more expensive than these deep truths. People don't seem to appreciate or value. And let me read this to you. I won't bore you, but you need to listen because it's very important. There must be a threefold education in order to make society sane, safe, and progressive. A purely intellectual attainment lacks balance. It lacks the governing and discipline that the spiritual only can give. Remember what the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11. It says that we recognize and understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that we will know that the things that are made were not made out of things that are seen. That is to say, everything that you see in the past, in the present, in the future was created by things that are not seen, by the spiritual. So this should even give you more impetus and appreciation of the spiritual, that if I pursue spiritual, it will add to my natural. Yes, God created the natural, but to boost and to give life to the natural, I need the spiritual. You know, in the book of Ezekiel, talking about the wheels, you know, that the talking about the seraphims and their wheels, the Bible says that when the spirit of life entered into the wheels, they became alive and they started flying. And wherever the spirit led, the wheels went. See, your natural education should be guided by the spirit of God. Should be influenced by the spirit of God. Your management skills, your ability to speak, your ability to teach, everything, your ability to draw, whatever you are doing, the natural should be guided and alive by the spirit of life. By the spirit of light. Irrespective of what you are doing, I don't care how tiny it is, I don't care what level you are, let it be guided by the spirit of life. I listen to me. What I'm trying to emphasize is that you must have a multiplex, a parallel education as you are pursuing God, as you are living your life. Do you know what I'm saying? This is my own lesson for you, you know, as you are learning from the life of Moses. And so, from what the man said, since this explains the crime wave that is sweeping over the land, for two generations we have been developing the physical and the mental at the expense of the what? Spiritual. All normal men crave the supernatural. The supernatural realm was man's original realm. He reigned as king. Sin came and he was dethroned. And all through human history, we see the outreaching of man for the miraculous. That is why you see people, they want more in every field. Because they don't have God or know the way to God, they go to the devil. And he gives them that sensual, earthly wisdom that always costs them. And the Bible tells us that, can you gain the whole world and not lose your own soul. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? All the natural. Can a man even gain the whole world? Tell me. Have you seen any man that has gained the whole world? If you've seen, he's a liar. But if they are trying to gain only the whole world, they always lose their souls. You've heard of musicians that they didn't last long. Why? Because some of them have cut covenant to the devil. And he will say that, okay, I'll give you the wisdom, you'll shine, but me, I'll take your life. Not your life. Take the person's life. And we've seen it. We've seen it in different industries. And so that's why it doesn't pay. It pays to serve God. The Bible says that in him I hid all the treasures of wisdom. The wisdom that the devil has is God that gave him. Now, have you forgotten? The Bible says, thou was created in all perfect beauty. Thou summoned the sum of wisdom. Until iniquity was found in you. And then it became corrupt. You know, God, the Bible tells us that the gifts of God are without repentance. God gives his gifts and doesn't take it back. And listen to me. So don't be deceived by his flamboyance and deceptions to say that, oh, we want to take his wisdom cheaply and go through the wide and easy road because it costs. Are you listening to me? And so, one more part I want to read to you. Man is a threefold being, body, soul, and spirit. Man's education should cover his whole being. To train only the physical is to make a prize fighter. That's why people that train only the physical, all they want to win is prize. Euro 2024 is going on. Olympic is coming for. You understand? All those guys, they are training their body, they are running through their education, their body, but all they want to achieve is prize. To train your intellect, to train the only the mental aspect, to only go to school and get BSc, MSc, HND, OND, all the NDs, all the Ds, PhD, everything. Thank God for it. But to train only the mental is to make an intellectual anarchist. You know what an anarchist is? An anarchist is like a terrorist. He can have the brain, but he might not be useful. He can build things that are destructive. Now listen to me. And then he says, to train only the spiritual is to make a what? Fanatic. So again, you see, we are against the fact that you might think that, oh, let me just read my Bible alone. You just become a fanatic. You'll not be useful. What does God want? God wants a threefold education. I've said this before. He wants an equilateral triangle. Spirit is the base and is the thickest. Then he wants your mental development. This is three times. This is two times. This is four times. And he still wants you to be physically healthy. But some of us are scaling triangles. You have the intellectual, then you have a short spiritual, then you have maybe a long physical, you know, or the triangle is like this, or is a right angle triangle. No, this is what God wants. A total man. Are you listening to me? And so he says to train only the spiritual is to make a fanatic. But God planned to develop the whole man. Say the whole man. Man's spiritual nature is capable of culture that will enable him to know God and commune intelligently with him. His spiritual faculties must be repaired. So it is not enough for you to be intellectual and mentally sound and physically healthy and not have the foundation that can support everything, that can keep everything running. The Bible says that God upholds the entire earth by the word of his power. Why do you think the earth is rotating? You see all these things, gravitational force, everything. What is sustaining it? What is sustaining the planet in the air? It is the word of God. It's still it. Let there be light. That spiritual force is there. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Do you know what I'm saying? So the man that recognizes the importance of the spiritual in this end time is the one that is going to skyrocket and beat everybody. And let me tell you this. The importance of your natural education will be and superimposed, directed, upheld, guided, influenced, use all the good grammars by the spiritual makes you the best. And that's why the Lord Jesus, anytime we talk about the greatest faith in the Bible, he talked about people that use natural things to explain spiritual things or understood spiritual things by natural things. And so talking about the centurion says, my servant is sick and I need your help. Okay, so Jesus comes back and goes. And as he's going, the centurion tells him, or he sends his servant, says that, no, you don't need to come. See, I'm a man of authority. I'm a soldier. I understand soldier principles. I understand order in the army. I understand order, hierarchy in the natural. You just speak the word. And I know that your word is going to go forth. Just like I sent my servant, I send a colonel, and I send a general, and I give him option, and the authority with that soldier, the same authority that I have, and he goes to do it, and he does it. I believe that you too, all you need to do is just speak the word. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I've never found a faith, so great a faith in Israel. See, what will make you even recognize in the heavenlies, in the earth, beneath the earth, is when you can use your natural education, you know, to do spiritual things, to understand spiritual truths and spiritual principles. So I appreciate my going to school, but I also recognize that I need that going to school to glorify God. I need God to invade my natural thinking to do wonderful things, to show forth His glory. Just like a tabernacle showed forth the glory of God compared to the pyramid of Egypt. Are you listening to me? The reason the tabernacle beats the pyramid of Egypt forever and ever is because the tabernacle is a template of where God is living in heaven. And where God is living in heaven, everything has meaning. If you check it, everything in that tabernacle had meaning. Even the fact that the tabernacle was broken to three already shows a lot. I can use it to explain your life and my life, that it has to do with your spirit, your soul, and your body. Do you understand what I'm saying? The outer court is your physical body. The holy place is where your soul is. The most holy place, that's where they were interacting with God. No natural light. That's where the Shekinah glory is. The Shekinah glory was in the spirit man. He's in the spirit man. So the tabernacle, as you're looking at it, has diverse meaning for all eternity. And that's what I'm trying to say, that when something, when God superimposes or God directs and influences your natural life, then you will see that your natural life has meaning. It turns water to wine. Do you understand? Is of eternal value to the kingdom of God and to the lives of men. Are you listening to me? Are we together? And so, the whole essence is this. Luke 24:19. Show me Luke 24:19. Let's quickly read Luke 24:19. Luke 24:19.
And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word.
Now, compare Moses to Jesus. When we read in Acts 7, it says he was educated in all the wisdom of Egypt, and he was mighty in word and in deed. Notice that when, like Prophet was telling us last week, reminding us, when God now called Moses, the guy said he was scared. How come he was mighty in words and in deeds, but was still scared to carry the calling? That's different. Talking about Jesus, it tells us that he was mighty in deeds and in words. Because see, deeds are more powerful than words. Talk is cheap, you know. Just like I can have all the education and all the knowledge, but I might not be mighty in deeds, the deeds of God. And so the Lord Jesus, talking about the Lord Jesus when he was working with those guys in Emmaus, he said, haven't you heard a man that was mighty in deeds and in words? When you know God, you'll be mighty in deeds and in words. You'll not just be mighty in the words, and then later in deeds. But you'll be mighty in what? Deeds. That will have impact and influence, and then you'll be mighty in words. Are we together? And so, you see, the reason why we are emphasizing these things about having a parallel education compared to Moses, who first had education and then had revelation, the reason why you should have education and revelation together is so that you'll not be misguided and misdirected. And then, the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We see that the time is short. See that the devil is angry because he knows that the time is short. In the book of Daniel, it said that they will seek knowledge fast from the east, from the west, from the north to the south. And then the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 12, it says, remember your creator when you are old. In the days of your youth, God wants to supercharge and superimpose and take control of your spirit, of your soul, of your intellect, of your brain, of your physical body from when you are young. So that by the time you are old, you are set. Train up your child in the way it should go. It's training. We are using the word training a lot in computing and in artificial intelligence these days. Because to make the computer smarter, you have to train it. The computer has to know what is circle, what is square. It has to know the difference between orange and mango. Do you understand? It has to know between the difference in a black and a white man. So when you type it and you prompt it, it knows what to give you. You have trained it. They have trained it. They have trained it with information, with some data. And the thing is still learning. It's humble enough to say, give me a thumbs down, so that I can learn and correct it. And the thing will say, I'm sorry. That's computer. That's computer that doesn't have life. That a man program. You see what I'm saying? So the point I'm trying to make is, you need to train now, early. You need to learn now, unlearn, relearn. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to be humble enough. We're now beginning to talk about the things that we need to be able to be mighty in deeds and in words, to be able to have parallel education, to be able to have allow God to gain ascendancy of our intellect and of our brain, day by day, bit by bit, small, small, more and more, day by day, until He completely overtakes us. So that when you are making choices and decisions, when you are making decisions and choices, when you are making ideas, giving ideas, it will be idea from God. You know, so you just think that it's you. But by the virtue of the fact that you've been praying, and you'll see the things that we'll talk about, you've been praying, you've been reading the word, you've been reading your work, you've been doing your work, you've been reading the word, it's now beginning to influence it. It's now beginning to impinge on it. He's now beginning to guide you. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. God will begin to guide you because you're giving Him a leeway. You're making room for Him. You are allowing Him to invade your spirit, to invade your intellect, to invade your body. By that, you invade your circumstances. You invade your decisions. Do you understand what I'm saying? These things happen. Take, for example, my wife's outfit now. Architectural outfit by His grace and mercy. By the time we looked at the name and she talked about it, everybody said, Everything has been before their eyes all this while, but they never had that revelation understanding. Do you understand what I'm saying? The reason, that one is God. Those things happen. Prof, talking about the thing, his research, he's been praying about on his chair, and he just had an image in his mind, and a picture. That's God. And nobody had ever thought of that thing. And he's still on this earth, and there are still many more. In Him I hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, guys. It's not because He's trying to make us religious. We don't need religion. God is not religious. God has, He has some guys that He wants to show. He wants to show you and me up to. He wants to show them that they don't know nothing. Do you know what I'm saying? He wants to show to the principalities and powers, the manifold wisdom of God, that they have not seen anything. That in these next 20, 25 years, the few years that we have, there are gods on the earth that He's going to manifest through. And all this thing I'm talking about is from the life of Moses. Why we don't have to wait. Why we should have a parallel education. Why we don't have to start building pyramid and wasting time. And doing things that are of no use. You know, why we need to start building and start doing things that God can impact and use for eternity. To impact lives, to change destinies and lives. To guide nations and communities. You know what the tabernacle did? All the tribes surrounded the tabernacle. I've told you. He taught them hygiene. He provided for them. He did diverse things by virtue of the fact that Moses had the education of Egypt. But he built according to pattern because he had involved God. Are you listening to me? And so how do we do these things? How can we begin to experience education and revelation so that there can be good manifestation? You know, at the end, you can manifest the glory of God. You can be of use to the community. Like E.W. Kenyon was saying, I'll share that thing because of the time. I can't read everything. You will not be a terror to the community. Crime will not increase. Jesus will increase. The wisdom of heaven will increase. The pattern of heaven in every field will increase. The glory of God will fill it. Men will be healed. Men will be delivered. Yokes will be broken. You know, technology, while there's creation and technology and advancement, it's not been destroying the lives of men. It'll be adding to the lives of men. You'll be the greatest manager. We didn't think of this thing. Who else can we call it that we can call it? You seem to understand this thing about HR. You know, no, it's not just because it is HR, it's because it is you. You'll be skilled. Ask Bezalel, ask Aholiab, the people that, like Moses called. I listen to me. Ask Hiram, ask Paul. You can't compare Paul with Peter. Peter was a fisherman. He didn't go to school. Do you understand? But Paul, he was a lawyer. He studied under Gamaliel. And God was able to use him to write 2/3 of the New Testament. So education is good. But let God use it. He is the creator of education. Don't let Satan take control over it. And take charge of it. And don't leave God out of it. How can you leave the person that is in charge of something and created something? Are you listening to me? So you need to involve him. So how do I have a spiritual education while I'm pursuing my natural education? How can I allow more room for God to be able to influence and impinge his power and his wisdom and his character you know, on my natural education. As a round of C. Moses was mighty in deeds and in words. Moses was educated in the, what's the word? Knowledge of Egypt. But Moses killed a man. You see what I'm saying? You can have education, have a head full of numbers, but not be useful to the community, but crime will still increase. Moses became a murderer. And he knew everything about pyramids, he knew everything about technology of his days, he knew everything about the gods of Egypt, you know, he knew everything, but he still murdered a man. He was not worthy in character and in learning in that time. By the time he came out of the burning bush, how he came out of the wilderness, that was that Moses was the meekest man on the earth, and God gave him the Ten Commandments, and God showed him the pattern, the diagram, the architecture of heaven on the mountain. Moses became worthy in character and learning. He was mighty in deeds and in words. He was worthy in character, in meekness, and in learning. That's what God wants from us. See, that's why we don't have to make the same mistake he made. See, because he dropped the ball. I think there are questions like this. When he dropped the ball and struck the rock twice, God said he wasn't going to enter the promised land. Two reasons. One, everything he was doing was a pattern for the future. The Bible tells that the rock was, who is the rock? Rock was Jesus Christ. So the first time he said, strike the rock in the midst of the elders. He struck the rock. That's Jesus dying for us. Do you understand? The second time, God said, speak to the rock. Do you understand what I'm saying? What did he do? He struck the rock. Now, God took it very personal with him because Jesus is not going to die a second time. See, everything he was doing was very significant. Jesus doesn't have to die for my sin a second time. Jesus has died once, and the Bible says in Hebrews, the second thing I'm supposed to do with Jesus is to receive life, to speak to Jesus, give me life. And the water should be. Johnson, the second reason why God said he wasn't going to enter the promised land was because he was of age. The Bible says in James 3, be careful that you desire to be teachers. Johnson, because your judgment is going to be higher. See, Moses didn't have a mediator. Moses was the mediator for the people. Now imagine the mediator messing up. You now know that there are many people want to be set man, they want to be pastor, they want to be this. You don't know that your own judgment is going to be stricter than the guy that is listening. Be very careful. These things take growth and takes maturity. Pastor is praying for me, but who is praying for pastor? Not that many times they say, like Paul. Paul was praying for us. I listen to me. And so let's end with what I need to do to have my spiritual education influence and impact my natural education. See, I'm seeing these things in my life bit by bit. What do I need to do on a daily basis? You need to pray, guys. You need to pray the Pauline prayers. The reason why Paul had wisdom and revelation more than Peter, James, and John, and the guys that were with Jesus, was because he prayed those prayers in Ephesians chapter 1. And many of those prayers that you see, he himself prayed it. He said, I pray, I bowed my knees down. I pray. From the first day, I've been praying for you that you feel the present complete knowledge of God's will. I pray that God will give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Paul said, and no man taught me. But Jesus himself taught me. Everything I read in the New Testament, those two thoughts, those epistles, Jesus himself taught him. That even Peter, in the book of Peter, he said that some of these things that brother Paul, we don't even seem to understand. But we know that they are epistles, they are scriptures. Before God called this scripture, Peter had called this scripture. What are we saying? To be worthy in character and learning. You can't go away from it, though. Trust me. You don't do it. I cannot guarantee that you'll get these things, these sweet, wonderful things that we're talking about. The spirit of wisdom and revelation, say Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. We'll soon be done. But you see, if we don't take anything from, if you don't take anything from what I'm teaching today, take these prayers. They shared it on the WhatsApp group. And we'll share it again. Because to be 10 times better than your friends and light years ahead of your friends, and to gain this wisdom and spiritual education that will affect your natural education and make you 10 times better. Better not just in your academics and learning, better in the issue of marriage. You can see Moses made a mistake in the issue of marriage before he met God. Do you understand what I'm saying? His wife wasn't too much into the things of God, the things of the Spirit. Father, God wanted to kill him because he had not circumcised his children. And when the wife saw that God wanted to kill him, then she quickly circumcised the child. I said, Moses, a man of blood. God was going to kill Moses. Do you know what I'm saying? The point I'm trying to make is that his wife was... So there are some choices that, by virtue of the fact that he had not met God at that time, he had made some costly mistakes. Do you know what I'm saying? The issue of striking the rock twice, that's character. There were still character issues. But these prayers, the good thing about these prayers is that they affect every area. They affect the issue of character, they affect the issue of learning. Not just spiritual learning, but also natural learning. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, let's quickly read through, I have it here. Ephesians chapter 1, 17 to 20, says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. How many people want wisdom? And revelation in the knowledge of him. Who is him? God. Who is God? He made all things, the creator, the redeemer of all things. The things that are chasing, he's not that created it. He's going to give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him that created this thing, architecture, that created math, that created English, that created science, that created spiritual things and natural things. So the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. So you will know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. Ephesians chapter 3, 16 to 19 says that God will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might in the inner man, that's your spirit, so that Christ will dwell in your heart, that is your mind, by faith. So you become rooted and grounded in love. You know, some people, when they have understanding in their mind, they become very proud. But with this prayer, even though you have wisdom and knowledge in your mind and enlightenment, you are still rooted and grounded in love. Love is God. God is love, I beg your pardon. Love is meek. Love is kind. So you cannot pray this prayer and have God's wisdom and still be proud. See, the challenge that many people have is they're even afraid to ask God for wisdom or knowledge because they feel that, I'll get proud though. Am I going to mess God up? When you pray this prayer, you get that sense of security in the love of God. You will not be afraid because the love of God is being perfected in you. And perfect love casts out fear. You know who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, where you are in Christ. You'll be able to fulfill more of your destiny when you pray these prayers. These are prayers that Paul prayed for him to be, I can use that word, better than his peers. And at the same time, Paul will tell you that I'm the least of all saints. In as much as he was better, he was still humble. How? Because of this kind of prayers. Are you listening to me? I'll give you one more. The remaining you'll see there. It says that my love, Philippians 1:9, that my love may abound yet more and more in knowledge, in all judgments. Judgment means decisions. When you are making decisions, either in family issues, you'll be able to judge it right. When you pray this prayer, it affects your natural judgment, your decision-making faculty, your ability to think correctly. Are you listening to me? Your guidance in making choices. The more and more you get better, I'm not saying it's overnight, but as you pray and more, it will be getting better and better. Light will be praying from your spirit into your mind, into your intellect. It will be chasing out those dark spots and wrong judgments. It will be affecting your will, your mind, your emotions, your physical body, your brain. It will be healing it bit by bit, bit by bit. It says that the child will not be able to discern between good and evil as he eats curds and as he eats honey. Father, strengthen me with all might according to your glorious power. Colossians 1:11. It strengthens your spirit, man. Oh, I'm not able to pray. God, strengthen my spirit. You see, everything is covered with these Pauline prayers. Spirit, soul, body, says that our bodies may be filled with all the fullness of God. How many people want their bodies to be filled with all the fullness of God? It looks impossible, but it's possible. When your brain, your body, that's where your digestive system is, your excretory system, your respiratory system, you've been having challenges respiring. When your body is filled with all the fullness of God, it casts out and destroys all those nonsense that he that has been affecting those systems. When you keep praying this prayer, you see the reason why they couldn't enter the promised land. This is the promised land. The promised land is not having a house, a big house, or going to America, or having a visa. No. The promised land is this, the blessings that come with these prayers. The fullness of God in my body, bit by bit. Because the reason why they couldn't enter the promised land is because of unbelief. When you don't do these things, you don't believe it. When you don't pray in the spirit, you don't believe it. It is because you don't believe it that you don't do it. Johnson, when you believe it, the reason why you are reading your math, you are reading English, you are reading geography, you are reading everything, anatomy, everything, is because you believe that you will need it to graduate. Not so. And you know that you will need it when you come out and you use it in the industry. Not so. So why are we not praying these prayers and praying in the spirit? Because we don't believe it and we need to start believing it. Because this is what's going to take us into our inheritance. Satan doesn't mind you having every other thing. But this thing, he doesn't want you to have, because he knows that this is what's going to show him up. His nakedness. Jonathan, that the wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God, might be shown to principalities and powers. The same way you are pursuing and taking your natural education serious, which I believe you should be, or if you want to be able to take it serious and have it give it meaning and give it direction and give it life, like I told you about the wheels in Ezekiel, until the spirit of life entered into those wheels, and it started moving, and the thing started flying. Wherever the spirit moved, the thing moved. Are you listening to me? So, to be able to have parallel education and have divine manifestation, not waste time, like Moses. That's what we're learning from him today. And not make mistakes, and be worthy in character and in learning. Pray the Pauline prayers. The Pauline prayers promise development of character, divine wisdom and inspiration, and divine strength and power. Are you listening to me? They guarantee that. They establish that in your life. Every area will be covered. Spiritual, natural, mental, material, financial, insights, concepts, ideas, guidance, wisdom, knowledge, ideas, innovation is coming. We are seeing it bit by bit. But you need to be diligent. You need to pursue it with all of your heart. The same way you are pursuing your education or what you have passion with. Let us bow our heads as we pray. Grace to believe. The Bible tells us about Moses in the book of Hebrews. It says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, they came out of Egypt. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt. There were all kinds of nonsense and junk in Egypt. All those pyramids, Moses forsook it too. If it was good, if it was of eternal purpose and destiny, Moses wouldn't have forsaken it. He would have even looked for a way to carry the pyramid with him. Yeah, it was junk, it was nonsense. He didn't have God. It was education minus God. He forsook Egypt. And the Bible says that he passed through the Red Sea by faith. He and the people. He and the people, they took the Passover. He and the people, they experienced the pillar of cloud by day. The promise of going to the mountain, receiving a pattern. But the Bible tells us that they couldn't enter the promised land because of unbelief. They did not do what God told them to do. Like Paul told us last week. They did not follow the more excellent way. Moses knew the way. They just knew the act. Maybe they just heard the good thing. They just saw it. They just heard it. They just tasted it. They ate the food. But when it came to practicing prayer, going to the mountain, God said, bring all of them. They said, they don't want to come. Moses, go by yourself. Leave it for the pastor. All these things that they are saying. No. God wants you to come. He wants you to eat with him and drink with him. He wants you to fulfill your purpose and destiny. He wants to know who you are in Christ. He doesn't want you to use your classmates and your colleagues as your standard, as a rule. He wants to be the rule. He wants to be the guide. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to be your inspiration. He wants to be your help. He wants to be your source. And by faith, Caleb and Joshua inherited the promised land. It takes faith, guys. I cannot say that something that is palatable or that you like by default, but as you begin to pray the prayers, and as you pray in the spirit, you pray them in faith, the spirit of wisdom and revelation from every day, you won't stop. Even when you are getting the revelation, you will not stop. You keep praying it. You keep praying it. And as you are having your physical education, you'll be having your spiritual education. As you are doing your math, you are praying this Ephesians 1, 17 to 19. As you are doing these other courses, you are also fulfilling this spiritual course of praying these prayers and praying in the spirit when you pray them. This is the will, guys. The more excellent way to develop love, to be worthy in character, and to be worthy in learning, spiritual and physical.
Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see you. Help us to see you.
One more time.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord.
It is our.
Open the eyes of our hearts.
It is our.
Help us to see you.
Help us to see you.
Help us to see you in our lives, in our homes, in our work.
To see you high and lifted up in our character, in our learning,
shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Jesus,
pour out your power and love
as we sing, holy, 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 holy. We want to see you.
Now I want to put one heart in your hand, one hand in your heart, rather, one hand up. As you've been talking to God, that God, open the eyes of my heart, open the eyes of my understanding, give me strength to do this work, to pray these prayers on a daily basis. In faith, the people that are going to be the head and tops are people that use natural things to understand spiritual things and are using spiritual things to bring light into natural things. The woman that was wanting the, her children, to, the demon to come out of her child, said even the dog, she used the natural thing to, and Jesus said, I've never seen a faith so great in Israel. So that even the dogs eat from the table. So I want us to pray this prayer together. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. Heavenly Father, we confess our sins. We repent of unbelief, lack of knowledge, lack of practice of your word. We receive forgiveness, cleansing, the purging of our consciences from these dead works to serve you, the living God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll open the eyes of our hearts to forsake Egypt, to enter into the promised land of purpose and destiny, to forsake what is behind that is hindering us from entering into fullness of your will for us, that you help us to walk in these things by the blood, by your word, by your spirit, under covering. Grant us grace on a daily basis to pray these Pauline prayers with meekness and lowliness and humbleness of heart, and to pray in the Spirit regularly. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for Zakaturia. Thank you, Lord, Joseph, for Riska. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, Kaya, for parallel education, for Alaska, natural, Kateria, spiritual, Kateria, Koturia, victories, Kateria, Pazuto, wisdom, Rakaya, Pepra, Naskada, in and upon our ways, Rakaya, our minds, our emotions, Kateria, our physical bodies, Zakaturia, circumstances, Kateria, regional heavens, Kateria, wisdom, Bakadia, help, Zakaturia, character, Pushik, Riska, fullness of your wisdom, of your power, and of your love, in Jesus' name, amen. Father, we also lift up our brethren that have needs. We pray that you meet them at their point of need. By your wisdom, by your power, and your love, you bring healing to their physical bodies and their circumstances. You grant them wisdom and direction in their exams and their courses, Lord God, that you lighten the weight and grant them great grace by your wisdom to enter into the fullness of your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray.